Welcome to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin Solomon, Senior Rabbi of Congregation Beth Hillel in Roswell, Georgia. Beth Hillel is one of the largest Messianic Jewish synagogues in the world and provides a place where Jewish people can find the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus in Hebrew, and retain their Jewishness. It's also where Gentiles worship and embrace the roots of the faith in drawing closer to God. Click the link in the description to support this ministry or to view our YouTube channel. Let's join Rabbi Kevin now as he shares this word from Scripture.
God is good. It's a new year. As you know, the Akedah is a critical text. It's always spoken of during Rosh Hashanah. It's a very traditional thing, and we're going to look at something from the Akedah in just a little bit, the binding of Isaac. But first, I want to go all the way back. I want to take us back to the calling of Avraham, the calling of Abraham, in Bereshit, literally, in the beginning. Genesis chapter 12. Let's start in Genesis chapter 12. This is a passage that most of you are probably familiar with if you are certainly a part of this congregation or if you're a lover of Zion. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Then Adonai said to Avram, to Abram, what did he say? I want you to really pay attention very closely to what he said. This really relates, something stood out to me this year as I was looking at the text. I hope it blesses you as well and speaks to you on this Rosh Hashanah, this Yom Teruah. Then Adonai said to Avram, get going out from your land and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land I will show you. My heart's desire is to make you into a great nation, to bless you, to make your name great so that you may be a blessing. My desire is to bless those who bless you, but whoever curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Amen. Man, a Shevitz, there's been a lot of cursing of the Jewish people. Have you noticed this? Holy moly, there's been a lot of cursing of the Jewish people lately. Well, you know, read the book, see what the text says. Whoever curses you, I will curse. Dude, I'm telling you, you don't want to be cursed by God. That's bad news. Okay, we all know this passage. It's the call of Abram. It's the call of the man that would become Abraham. And it's the covenant of the Jewish people. It's powerful for sure. No doubt about it. But I want to focus on an important part of the story, which we'll see has some interesting parallels to something we're going to be talking about later and a real profound implication for each of our lives. So will you walk with me in this journey, say amen? What exactly is it that God told Abram? More specifically, I want to focus in on one part of what he said to him, which I find fascinating and a little intimidating, honestly. More specifically, in fact, it's the very first thing he told him. He said, get going. Get going. Okay, get going. Where? And God's answer, to a land I will show you. Okay. Now, for sure, people lived a lot longer back then. Abraham would live to 175. But nonetheless, y'all, Abram was 75. When God called him out of Haran, get going. Where? To a land I will show you. Boy, I got to tell you, that's pretty cryptic. Get going, old man. Get going, old man. All your land, all your people, all your animals, the whole Megilla. Pack up the tent, man. We're going in a camper. Get it all in a camper or something. We're taking a trip. Where are you going? Where am I going, God? You know, it's enough faith just to go. You're established. Go to a land I will show you. That's not very 21st century. You got to remember, Abram did not have a GPS. He did not have an iPhone and saying, okay, hold on. I think I got to take the first left. Hold on. God, would you mind entering a destination in Google Maps of Waze for me? I really would appreciate it. Can you just enter the destination and then I can just hit go and I don't have to think about it. You know, it's interesting. I've noticed this. If you don't have a Gen Zer, you may not have noticed, but having Gen Zer kids, I've noticed that they enter the destination every trip. It's like, you know, you're going to the gas station at the corner. You could walk to it from our house. Let me put it in the GPS here. And what? and they look at me like I'm crazy. They look at me like it's like, of course. I mean, don't you want to be sure you're going to get? Yeah, but it's, I can see it from here. I can see it. It's a different generations. You know what I'm saying? They were just raised in the generation that technology was such a part of their dialogue. And so, you know, Abram didn't have any chance. This guy didn't have an Apple, you know, an iPhone. He didn't have GPS. He had no idea where he was going. And Abram and his whole extended family and community immediately got going. They got going. They did it. They're like, okay, let's go. I can imagine his, you know, the servants and the cousins and the nephews and the nieces and the, they were like, Abraham's like, okay, let's go. Let's go. People were taking off. Hold on. Whoa. What are you talking about, Bubala? What are you talking about, Abe? And he's like, we got to go. God's telling me to go. God's telling you to go. Hold on. 75. Is the guy all there, you know? Is he starting to lose it a little bit? What's going on with this guy? What do you mean? We got a grade here in Ur. We got a grade here. What do you mean we got to go? Yeah, we got to go. Okay, well, gosh, Abram, I don't see it. But, I mean, I guess if you're telling us we got to go, then let's, okay, but where are we going? I don't know. To a land God will show me. Oh boy. Get the guys with the white coats. This guy is, what's up with them? They got going. You got to think, these are real human beings, guys. These are not robots or, you know, automatons. This is not a cyborg. This is a real human being that had a real life, very wealthy and prosperous where he was. He would have had every excuse in the world not to go anywhere. So from their original starting point in Ur, interestingly, of course, if you know where Ur is, it's near modern day Kuwait. If you follow their journey, they kind of followed the Euphrates River. So the journey was not direct to Israel, to the promised land. In fact, as they followed the Euphrates River, it went well north of where he would end up, which is in modern day Turkey, so as to avoid the desert. So all told, Abram and all his people traveled well over 1,100 miles to get to Shechem. 1,100 miles. And this is not like, he didn't like take a Delta plane. he wasn't even in a Tesla or something. he would have had trouble recharging, I think, along the way. But No, I mean, this guy was in a caravan, camels and donkeys and stuff. 1,100 miles. Couldn't hire Atlas moving trucks. So he gets to Shechem, and it's here where God told Abram that he had arrived. And in Shechem, he told Abram, here, look around. I will give this land to you and your seed. As a side note, this is pretty interesting. As a side note, this place that he eventually kind of landed in Shechem, where he said, I'm giving this land to you and your seed forever. And we know that the promise would go through Abraham, then Isaac, and Jacob. So this was the land grant to the Jewish people. The place he did it in Shechem is in modern day Samaria, which the world calls the West Bank. That's exactly where it is. I've been there before. It's so interesting, which now the vast majority of the world, even the Western world, is isolating Israel even more in that regard. That's where God confirmed the land grant of Israel to the Jewish people. There's a lot of irony in that. People don't really care what God has to say. They care about what they as politicians have to say. I'm going to tell you, in the end, it ain't going to go their way. But think for a minute about that journey. From Ur, they went up through by the Euphrates River up, eventually settled in Haran for a while. And they were there for a while, and a good while. And then they went down to Shechem. And if they never stopped along the journey, let's say that they had gone straight up to Haran and then straight down to Shechem, which they did not do. But if they did the journey just straight, it would have taken probably about half a year. But realistically, knowing that they settled in Haran for a while, we're talking likely a multi-year journey. Okay, these are human beings. This is not a philosophical exercise. This is a multi-year journey. Where to? To a land I will show you. Wow. You ever feel like that? I have. And as I think about it, as it pertains to myself, it's a little bit unsettling to try to imagine myself in Abram's place. And you're taking everything, and he had a lot. He had a lot of stuff and a lot of people that were depending upon him. Here you go, to a land I will show you. Can you see how that would be a little bit unsettling? Get going, where? There is something being asked of us this Rosh Hashanah. And it's not likely a physical move, but it is a willingness to do something when God says to do something. I want to say that again. It's a willingness to do something when God says do something. See, within this, my friends, there's a vast amount of trust and faith. When God says to do something, you definitely are not going to have all the answers as to everything that means. Gosh, man, I want all the answers. I want the answers to the test before I take the test. Let's just be honest about it. This is what we want. But it doesn't work like that. God said to Abram, go where? To a land I will show you. Well, was it easy for Abram? Was it easy? The answer is definitely not. It was definitely not easy. How do I know this? It's interesting, y'all, because when you think about it, I want to give you a paradigm. I'm going to tip a sacred cow here. Some people think that when God calls you to do something, that a confirmation of that will be that things just fall right into place. This is what a lot of people think, is that, okay, if God, a confirmation of God calling you to do something is that things just fall right into place. This sometimes can be the case, but not necessarily true, right? It can be at times, but that's not what you should seek as your confirmation. I hear some people say, well, is there an open door? There's an open door. God wants me to go through it. I gave a sermon many years ago called, let me tell you another open door, a trap door. That's an open door. Boo! There you go. A trap door is an open door. Open door does not always mean it's God's will. Sometimes, in fact, quite the opposite. Sometimes God's will is for you to push down a closed door. Very interesting. What happened to Abram? This is the case with Abram. What happened to Abram once he arrived in the promised land? Well, he arrived in the promised land. He was at Shechem. He went to Beit El. And God again confirmed that he had arrived in the land that God promised him. You made it. It's interesting. He tells him in Shechem, he tells him in Beit El, he says, hey, this is the land. I'm promising you this land. Everywhere you look, north, south, east, west, I'm promising it to you and your seed forever. The land grants that God, the covenant that God made with Abraham. Wow. Friends, after a 1,100-mile journey, woo, man, that had to feel like, okay, he's finally arrived. He finally made it. After years and years of traveling with everybody, you know what a hassle that was. You know how difficult it was. You know that people questioned whether or not he had really heard from God. You know that the doubt might have crept in at times. And finally, after all this time, he finally made it. And so, The what you would think is that at that point, boy, take off your shoes, man. Put up your feet. You're home. You made it. You finally made it. Woo! It's going to be great. It's going to be amazing. You obeyed me. You were faithful to me. You trusted in me. And so now, after years of effort, when you win, you didn't even know where you were going. 1,100 miles. You took the whole enchilada, and here you are. You finally made it. Woo! Get ready to enjoy yourself. It was a long journey, and you are here to inherit what God promised you. Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what I'm expecting, but that's not what happened. Genesis 12, verse 10. Here's what happens right after God says, you made it. Right after. Now, there was a famine in the land. So Abram went down to Egypt to live as an outsider there because the famine was severe in the land. Man. Woo! Hold on. Hold on. Man, I got to think that some of you have been here before in your lives. There's lessons in here for each of us if you're willing to hear them. So immediately after he finally arrives in Israel, what would become Israel, and God confirms that he's arrived in the place that God called him to. So go to a place that I will tell you. He goes, the guy's going, who knows how he kind of got there. God guided him somehow. And finally, he's like, yes, you have arrived at the place where I told you. I mean, it's like, wow, finally a fulfillment of what God told him years earlier. Right then, he is then forced to go down to Egypt to survive a famine that is in the land. Is that what happened? That's exactly what happened. Once he arrived to where God himself called him to, the journey of over 1,000 miles, he entered directly into a famine. Nice! Nice! Thank you for the reward, God. People think that God's will, it's just all going to nicely fit in a box. Friends, I want to tell you something. When God calls you to something, it will not always be easy. Sometimes it will actually be very hard, or at least harder. And guess what? Often you will not have all the answers. You got to think that he said to his people, hey, we've arrived. And God says, I'll give you this land, north, south, east, west. Here you go. And he said, hey, team, we're all here. We made it. This is the spot. And they were like, hurrah, where's the food? There's no food here. There's no food here. Abe, come on, man. Abe, seriously. Seriously, stop messing with us, Abe. This is the place, man. Where's the food? Come on. Famine in the land. We made it. Yay! Let's go to Egypt. That's exactly what happened. Did he have all the answers? Clearly, no. He did not. Very, very interesting. Us in our lives. Some examples. These are just examples. This applies to your life in some form or fashion, or it certainly can. Examples. If you follow God's call on your life, as a teenager or a college student, you'll find that sometimes you might get made fun of. You might get picked on a little bit. You will surely get peer pressured to compromise your walk. But the difficulty does not diminish that the call to follow God's commands is primary, and you should be locked in like Abraham. This is what I'm supposed to do. I know I'm supposed to do it. The situation around me is difficult and is hard and is at least not perfect, but it doesn't matter because God called me. Do I understand everything? No. Do I have all the answers? No, I don't have all the answers. These are just examples. If you're Jewish here, if you happen to believe this Bible, if you believe the book, then flat out you are not called to assimilate. You're called to retain your Jewish identity in Messiah. That is your call. Scripture's clear on this, and this can only be fully accomplished in a Messianic Jewish congregation. 2,000 years of evidence to prove this. But guess what, my friends? Bethel doesn't have all of the fancy programs of some mega congregations in the area. And beyond that, I'll tell you, as the rabbi here, Bethel is far from perfect. And let's face it, let's just be honest about it. It's much easier being the celebrated token Jew in a different fellowship. It would have been easier for Abram to stay in Ur, or to stay in Haran, or to stay in Egypt. He could have done this easily. But God called him to his land and promised him a people. So who cares about the circumstances? It doesn't make the least bit of difference. You do what God has called you to do. Period. End of sentence. This is the faith of Abraham. This is the lesson from Avraham. When somebody gets married, they're typically euphoric and perhaps a bit naive. I've done more weddings this year than maybe any year ever. Wow, I've done so many weddings this year. Okay, but when somebody gets married and they're euphoric and a little bit naive, it's understandable. But friend, if you are called to your husband or your wife, it's frequently not going to be easy. And beyond this, where's the training manual for marriage? I'm going to say something. Hopefully you can relate to it in some level. To a certain extent, committing to a spouse is committing to go to a land that you do not know of yet. I know why you're laughing. It's like, that is really funny, but I don't want to laugh too hard. My spouse is right beside me here, but that is so true. You're committing to go to a land that you don't know of yet, a land that God will show you. What does this land look like? You'll know when you get there. Now, this marriage, will it always be easy? No, no, you're with me. No. In fact, sometimes there is a famine in the land. Oh. Sometimes the grass seems greener on the other side. So, friends, are you ready to commit? You see, if you're called, though, you commit, and you do it, and you don't turn back. And this all is true regarding all of the things that God calls us to. God calls us to love. But when he calls us to love, that doesn't mean it's always going to be easy. He calls us to joy. But when he calls us to joy, there are going to be hard times. This does not contradict the fact that he has called you to joy. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. He's called you to peace. Yay! Praise God, yeah. He's called you to long-suffering. Yeah. Oh, no, no, no. Oh, those of you who are watching on the internet, I know that typically nobody who like does any media talks about it, but the Bible talks about long suffering some. Thanks for joining us. It's been nice having you. It also talks about being called to self-control. Oh, boo. Hey, we're called to all of them. But you see, Abram had faith in God. And he very soon returned back to the promised land. Initially, he went to the desert. So he recognized that he didn't have to understand everything. Hello. Even though he was likely one of the wealthiest people on earth at the time, he was not so proud to think that he knew better than God. Do you hear that? Yeah, yes, well, I think that I've actually been called to Haran. Yes, I've been called to Haran. I've seen great success there, so I'll stay there. Let's face it, the people of Haran need God too. I can minister to a lot of people here. That's hubris. You think that your call is superior to that of God's call on your life? Okay. No, beloved, if you are a high schooler, in the end, you will be more blessed if you stay faithful to his commandments. Business person, in the end, you will be more blessed if you do things the ethical way, the moral way, by not using unscrupulous shortcuts. And honestly, here's the real truth. If you're more blessed or not, it really doesn't make any difference because you're putting your faith in the creator of the universe and he will honor that. Hard stop. Genesis 22. Okay. I think that we've pretty clearly established, right, Bob? Abram was built different. Abram was built different, man. That guy, whew, what faith he had, what trust in his creator to do what his creator was telling him to do, even when it didn't make the least bit of sense. Wow, thank God he was obedient, right, Mandy? I mean, if he wasn't obedient, none of us would be here today. That's a literal truth. Not in this building. Abram was built different. When God said to do something, he did it, period. Okay, now let's fast forward a little bit. When we read this, and we're just going to read the beginning of it, Genesis chapter 22. When we read it and you hear it, I want you, now this is like 10 chapters later. A lot of time has passed. Years have passed. Many years have passed. But I want you to see if you recognize the general language used by God here. It's very interesting. We want to know how Abraham was so amazing with the Akedah, with the binding of Isaac. But to really understand Genesis 22, you have to understand Genesis 12. And then 22 makes more sense, especially the beginning of it. What do we read? Let's read. Now it was, verse 1, now it was after these things that God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, hineni, he said. Then he said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains about which I will tell you. Do you see a parallel here? I surely do. Go sacrifice your son. I mean, first of all, do what? Wait, do what? Go sacrifice your son. Do what? Where? What are you talking about? Do what? Where? That direction. There, that direction. Go. Just go. On one of the mountains about which I will tell you. Just head that direction. You know the region. Go there. It's one of the mountains I'll tell. What? Whoa. Hold on. Whoa. What's going on here? Go exactly where? One of the mountains that I will tell you about. Does that sound familiar? It really should. If you've been listening earlier in the message, that language should be very familiar to you. It's a real parallel to God's original call to Abraham. Do this. I'll give you more information when I'm ready to give you more information. Oh man, that's hard for me, isn't it? It is. It's hard for you too. Man, I just want God to just give me the whole plan. Just give me the whole plan, God. Then I can kind of organize things. No. I will give you more information when I want to give you more information. For now, this is the information I'm giving you. I'm telling you what to do. It's enough, Dainu. You go do this. That really is a test of trust. When God tells you to do something that you don't really understand. Trust in me and I will lead you. Don't worry if you don't have the whole roadmap yet. And by the way, don't think that you will know better than me. You won't. A lot of people, what it is that God says, go into a place I'll tell you, and they start going. And after they go for a while, they're like, well, I don't exactly know. I think that place looks good. That's what Lot did. right? That's what Lot did. He said, that place there, the Sodom and Gomorrah, that looks really good. That's very fertile. Did you see here what Lot did? He did exactly opposite. He took it into his own hands. He looked with his carnal eyes. Instead of just following what God would want him to do. A lot of people, if they don't have the map, they will make a decision. Well, I don't really know, but I'm just going to go this direction. It's so interesting because in verses 3, verses 4, verses 9, it says specifically that they had arrived, quote, at the place that God told. At the place that God told Abraham about. You think, how did Abraham know that this was the place? Well, beloved, Abraham has experience in following the call of the Lord. Even if he did not know the exact final destination, he had faith in God, much like he did when he first left Ur. And it's because he followed the words of the Lord. He heard his Creator's voice and he followed it. So he had experience with this. He had already walked in faith, trusting in his Creator. He had already done this. How did Abraham even pass the test? How did he even say, Isaac, come on? He was well rehearsed. You heard the story. You can't understand 22 Genesis until you understand 12. But you have something that Abraham did not have. You have his word. So by looking in here, you can hear his voice. So you may say, I don't hear his literal voice. God doesn't say to me, go over here. I need to, you know, you don't hear this booming voice from heaven. Okay, fair enough. Most people don't. I don't typically hear God's voice for sure. But you know what? You do hear God's voice. Read the book. You'll hear God's voice. Speak through it loud and clear if you're willing to listen. By looking in here, you can hear his voice. And also through his Ruach HaKodesh, his Holy Spirit, living within you. But all of this leads me to this question today on this Rosh Hashanah. And here's the question. Where are you going? Where are you going? Because honestly, most people don't seem to be going anywhere. I'm not saying that you need to be planning a worldwide ministry or something similar. That's not at all what I'm talking about. I'm saying, where are you going? What is God calling for you to do more of in your life? I want you to think personally here. If we're going to take the message of Abraham and apply it to our lives, I want you to think personally. Where are you going? Perhaps where you should be going and God is calling you to go is defeating fear in your life. I know that there's a percentage of you here today or watching online that are bound by fear. Maybe God is calling you out of your lifelong home of fear and into a new location of confidence in the Lord. God called Abram out of a literal Ur up to Haran and then to the promised land. But, you know, many of you have been living in a house in a state of fear. And God is calling you out of that state. But you have to be willing to leave it. Are you going? Because quite honestly, it's much easier just to stay where you are, where it's comfortable. Abram was comfortable in Ur. and in Haran. He was comfortable there. Now, it may seem kind of weird to think that somebody could be comfortable in fear, but you can be. It is something that you are familiar with and something that in a weird way provides you some comfort because you don't get out of your shell as much because you fear. And you don't ever try to walk on the water. Well, you're always safe in the boat. But if God is calling you to walk on the water, walk on the water. The point is, if God is calling you out of that fear, you got to have the trust and faith in God like Abram, like Abraham, to leave that home of fear, even if you're used to it. Maybe God is calling you to pray more. Are you actively moving in this direction from Ur or not? Maybe God is calling you to share the good news with others more. Well, I'm not very, very good at that. It's something that I've never done before. And, you know, I don't know exactly what to say. Abram had never been to the promised land. He had never been there. It was 1,100 miles away for him. You think that was easy, Bubba? It wasn't. It was hard. And even once he got there, were there lots of open doors for him? There was a famine in the land. Hard, difficult. Am I asking you to step up today to something? You betcha. That's exactly what I'm doing. Because I want what's best for you in your life. I want God's fullness in your life, to what he has called you to. And as a person, as a believer, sometimes you may run into a famine. Will you give up or will you have the faith and go? Well, I'm not very good at that. Okay, you know what? There's one way to get better at sharing the good news with other people. And that is sharing the good news with other people. Or you could stay in your comfort zone in Ur and not go out of your house. There's lots of areas like this in your life, strongholds that you need to break free from and trust in God, even if it's hard, like Abraham. Maybe God is calling you to clean up your mouth some. Ooh. Are you making progress? It could be a million things. Different things that God may be calling you out of. Likely different for each person here, but friends, it's Rosh Hashanah. And part of my role today is to push you to think about it, to actively engage with your Creator in the question, where are you going? Where are you going? Is there any place, is there any part of your life that you're making progress in? Other than just simply aging. Everybody who is here today is making progress in aging. Okay, that's all well and good. What else are you making progress? I'm not talking about your 401k. I don't care about that. Can't take it with you. No, friends, what's important is what's eternal. Where are you going? What area of your life are you getting out of Ur in? What area of your life are you on the route on the Euphrates River? And you know, you hadn't made it to the promised land in that area yet. You know what? It may take you years to get there. It may take you years to get to the promised land in that area. You don't always even have to know exactly the final destination. But if God is telling you to get going, then beloved, you need to get going. Whatever that thing is in your life, you need to start to move. And I'll tell you this, if you don't make some progress, if you don't make at least some progress, you'll never go anywhere. And you'll never arrive anywhere. And if nothing comes to mind as to where you're going, a good place to start is to read his word more. Perhaps you should start your journey here in this new year to read your words more. Maybe you don't read the word hardly at all. Okay, you're in Ur. There's great things in store for you if you just simply read his word. That's an easy one. If you can't think of anything, I just gave you one. For within it, you'll find God speaks directly to you and will tell you even more what he wants for you to do and to go in areas in your life. Perhaps some of you have never really turned your life over to God. Maybe you've even kind of talked a good game, but you've never really had an experience to the extent that you're willing to trust your Creator with your life, not even knowing exactly where that will lead you. It's interesting. Even Messiah Yeshua's disciples had this question. Let's conclude with John chapter 14. John 14, we'll conclude with that one. Yeshua's disciples needed to understand this principle better. They were a little bit confused themselves. The Messiah had come. He was amongst them. And he was saying about different things he'd be doing. And then in John chapter 14, verse 5, Thomas, one of the disciples, said to him, Talmidim, he said to him, Master, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way? I love that. That's a very honest answer. Our honest question. Yeshua said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. People know verse 6, but they don't realize it's an answer to the question of verse 5. Because the disciples' understanding was limited. Yeshua, you want us to go with you, but we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way if we don't know where we are going, Yeshua? You want us to go with you, but we don't know where you're going. So how can we know? How can we know the way? Funny how directly that relates to the story of Abraham. Do you see the direct relation there? And Yeshua responds that all you need to know is to follow him. All you need to know is to follow Yeshua. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Come through me. This is what he says. Wow, it's pretty profound. So, beloved, it's Rosh Hashanah. You understand this well, that it's God's appointed time, as we talked about last night, to stop and take stock. So I'm asking you very pointedly and directly this question. It's also the title of my message, and it applies to every one of us. The title of my message is, Where Are You Going? Let's bow our heads. I want to ask if there's anybody here who's never said a prayer to receive Yeshua as your Messiah. If you are here and you have never said yes to him, I have a great answer as to where you're going if you receive him into your heart. Nothing could be better than to do so. We had 5 people last night say yes to Messiah, at least. If you're here today and you've never said a prayer to receive Yeshua as your Messiah, you've never given your life over to God, but you want to today and you know you need to, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, raise your hand and we'll pray together. If that's you, just kind of wave your hand at me and we'll have a simple prayer. If that's you, yeah. The Lord will change your life, transform you forever. If you'd like to make that commitment to God and you have not done so before, just lift your hand and we'll pray together. In fact, we'll all pray just to support you. Who would like to say yes? Maybe you online are watching or listening on the podcast and you want to make your decision to follow Messiah. If that's you, repeat this simple prayer after me and God will touch you. And if you're here today and you maybe couldn't quite get your hand up, just quietly, even silently to the Lord, say this prayer after me. Say, "Dear God, I humble myself before you. I ask Yeshua into my heart. I believe he's risen again, standing at your right hand. Please forgive me of my sins. I'm sorry. I'll live the rest of my days for you. Thank you, God, in Yeshua's name." Now, if you said that prayer for the first time, if you're in this room, see me after the service. If you're watching online or listening on the podcast, please send us an email. We want to celebrate. But in the meantime, the question for all of us, where are you going? Where are you going? Lord, I pray for each person who's here today and watching. Lord, I pray that you give us direction. But the direction doesn't have to be exactly where the destination is. The direction has to be, Lord, we merely are asking for direction to go in a particular area in our lives. So, Lord, I pray that you reveal to your children what area it is in their life where they need to make some movement in. What area is it in their life that they need to take steps in? To move out of their home in Ur, to start heading to a land that you will show them, a place that you will show them in their lives in any particular area. God, I thank you for this. Lord, I thank you for this special holy day that we can come to you and have our lives transformed. Something new, fresh, different. Lord, we bless you for these things and are so thankful to hear from you and to follow you when you tell us to go. Lord, we look forward to these shofar sounds which will quicken us and remind us. We ask these things in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin. Please like, subscribe, and share this link with a friend. We would be grateful to receive your tax-deductible gift to further the good news of Messiah Yeshua. To make a contribution, please click on the PayPal link in the description. Also, to view our regular services, click the link in the description for our YouTube channel. If you would like more information about Yeshua the Messiah or how you can become part of our Beth Hillel family, please visit our website at www.bethhillel.org. That's BETHHALLEL.ORG. Or call 770-641-3000. If you are in the Metro Atlanta area, please visit us for an Arab Shabbat service, Friday nights at 8 o'clock, or Shabbat services, Saturday mornings at 11. God bless and shalom.